Yeah, thank you very much for coming here. Sorry, can everybody hear me okay? Yeah, can everybody see me okay? Can everybody see me a little bit better now? Brilliant, thank you. So yeah, my name's Duke, and I'm going to be talking about the practicalities of being a walking light show. So first of all, why am I interested in this? Why might you be interested in this? I took all of these photos at the last EMF, and I sort of feel I shouldn't need to go into too much explanation for this particular crowd. People like shiny things. So if you go and search the internet for light up clothing projects or wearable LEDs, you'll often turn up something that looks a bit like this, where somebody's taken a really beautiful sort of formal gown and very carefully sewn LEDs into it so it lights up. And this works really, really nicely in very specific contexts. If you're in a very polite, formal setting where everybody's very well behaved and it's indoors and everything like that, it works really well. I'm slightly more interested in an environment a bit more like this, so a club or a festival where it's a bit more crowded, there are lots of people kind of moving and dancing. I like to go out to festivals and dance for 6 to 8 hours at a stretch, so the considerations are slightly different. And also the sort of constraints you have when you're dancing at festivals are also quite different. You have to worry a lot more about weatherproofing and what sort of environment you're going to be wearing your light show in. So, how do you make light happen? One way of doing it is to take two special kinds of chemical and you mix them up together and they react and they emit light. That's called chemiluminescence. And there are other special materials that will absorb ultraviolet light, which you can't see normally, and then they will re-emit it as visible light, which obviously you can see, and that's called fluorescence. And you can also take some electrons and accelerate them in an electric field, so they go really, really fast, and smash them into dye molecules, and in the resulting mini-explosion, they emit light. That's called electroluminescence. And hand-wavingly, you can do something very similar inside a semiconductor, and that's what makes LEDs work. So, chemiluminescence. Basically, you have this chemical reaction which reacts with the dye molecule and emits light. So, inside this glow stick, I've got a dye molecule, which you probably can't... Yeah, you can't really see that it's dyed in here. And inside it, there is a little glass tube containing hydrogen peroxide. So if I snap this to break the tube, they'll start mixing and they emit light. Can anyone see that? Woo! All right. And glow sticks are great. They're really robust. You can kind of muck around with them quite a lot. They're waterproof. You don't need to care if it's raining. I have a friend who goes deep sea diving and they will take these down to kind of light things around them underwater. They start off really quite bright. You can get flexible ones that you can bend into bracelets or necklaces, anything like that. You don't need to carry a battery pack, and they give you this sort of nice gentle diffuse light. You can see it from quite a way away, but it's not going to blind you or anything like that. And they're great fun to dance with. You can just wave them around and do all sorts of things with them. They're relatively safe for children. I said relatively because about 30 seconds after this picture was taken, the child in question bit through the glow stick and dye started coming all over it. But the dye is supposedly non-toxic, and as proof of that, he's sitting in the audience many years later. Right, so there are some downsides to glow sticks. I'm not sure if you could really have seen it here, but it started out really, really bright, like very bright, and then it gets slightly dimmer. And it'll stay at about this level of brightness for maybe 4 to 6 hours, and then it just kind of dies off to nothing. And they're single use. Once they've gone out, that's it. They're done. You can't recharge them or reuse them or anything like that. So they create quite a lot of plastic waste. Right, fluorescence. Due to some weird quirk of physics, molecules like dye molecules in that glow stick aren't allowed to have any amount of energy that they want. They can only have very specific preset amounts of energy. So you can sort of engineer molecules that have a specific set of energies they're allowed to have, such that if you shine UV light on one of them, it will bounce it up to a higher energy. It'll knock around at the top for a bit and drop back down again. When it drops back down, it will emit light at a different wavelength, which we can actually see. So that is fluorescence. And materials which do this are really, really flexible. You can get makeup, you can get paint, you can get all sorts of, you can get fabric that does this. And it's incredibly flexible. You can make beautiful wall hangings like this, and you shine a UV light at it, and it just lights up. If you have clothes made out of it, you can just chuck it in the washing machine. You don't need to carry a battery around with you, and you can use it outside. Unfortunately, the fact that you need UV is quite a big constraint. You can't exactly carry your own sort of UV floodlight around with you all the time. And it is quite sensitive to, you know, the inverse square law. As it gets further from the light source, it gets darker, as you can see in this wall hanging. There is another constraint on if you're around a lot of UV light, you need to remember that human tooth enamel is a fluorescent material, so your teeth under UV light will emit quite bright white light. But the stuff that they make crowns and veneers from does not fluoresce, so if you look too happy under UV light, it will look something like this, which isn't really the best aesthetic. Right, electroluminescence. Basically, you take some kind of subatomic particle, you put it in an electric field, and you accelerate it, you give it loads of energy, and you smash it into a dye molecule, and in the resulting mini-explosion, they emit light. So, a little bit like carrying a particle accelerator on with you, but on a much, 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 much smaller scale. And in fact, you can do it on such a small scale that you can effectively make wire which does this. So, it's going to work. Yes. I don't know if you can see against the light, that's starting to glow up. So inside this wire, you have essentially a copper electrode in the center, and then a layer of this electroluminescent material, and then another copper wire on the outside. And the voltage between them starts the electroluminescence process. And this stuff is great. Actually, if I hold it in front of my laptop cover, you can probably see a lot better that it glows. This stuff is really, really flexible. You can bend it around things, you can put it in any shape you like, and then glue it into place. When I started playing around with kind of wearing it while out dancing, initially I just would wrap it around my body. But you can just attach it to clothing, anything you can think of, really. And it's available in a lot of different formats. So there's another version of this where they take the plastic coating and they extend it to give you this little strip out on the side. And you can use that strip to, you can use it to sew the wire onto other materials. So you can, for example, go out and get a little pair of cat ears and use this stuff to turn it into a little pair of glowing cat ears. And then you get a happy child. And you can get electroluminescent paper. It's essentially this stuff, but on a sheet of paper, and you can just cut that with a pair of scissors into any shape you like. So this is something I did a few years ago. I've made a jacket out of the EL wire, and I made something that let me wrap the paper around my arms so that they would sort of show what my arms were doing. So the downsides of electroluminescent wire, or EL wire, sometimes L wire for short, unfortunately it doesn't last forever. It starts off really bright, but after a couple of years use it will start to fade. So this is the same set of glowy ears a few years later, and they're just nothing like as bright. And you'll notice that on the corners and the sort of tips of the ears, it's a bit darker still, because as you bend it, that reduces the lifetime even more. Right, so there's another problem with EL wire, which is that you need to get about 100 volts to actually make the electroluminescence happen. It's very low current, so it's quite safe, but you do need to get up to 100 volts. And the way you do that off a 3-volt battery pack like this one is you have a little circuit called an inverter, which takes this and gives you 100 volts AC. Because it's 100 volts AC, it's really quite noisy. You probably can't, I don't know if the mic will pick it up, you probably can't hear it, but the inverter makes a very high-pitched which is something you don't notice at first, but if you're wearing, for example, an EL tiara all night, you will start to notice it, and it will really get in your nerves. Right, so the EL tape I showed you on my arms earlier, funny thing happened with that. This is a close-up of one of those pieces of tape, and you can see on this side, it's in perfectly good condition, nice kind of flat edge. But on the other side, something's happened. Something started eating away at it. And what happened was that I was at, I think, Glastonbury, and it was quite a warm evening, and I was dancing away, and I started to get warm, and I started to sweat quite a bit. And the sweat started to penetrate into the laminate, so it started to get in between the layers of plastic. And sweat conducts electricity. So as I was dancing, I started getting these little electric shocks as it conducted. So as a result, if you're ever making anything out of EL tape, be really careful to like put a layer of transparent tape around the edges or epoxy or something, just to seal it off so you don't have the same thing happen. Right, LEDs. Everybody loves them. They're all over EMF. They're cheap, they're bright. You can get ones with little onboard computers that you can program. They're super flexible. Sometimes I actually find in crowded club environments, they're actually too bright. This harness that I'm wearing, I only ever run it at half brightness. Like, everybody can see it, but if I were to turn it up to full brightness, it's actively unpleasant to be right next to, and you know, you don't want to annoy the people you're actually out dancing with. Right, so if you're making some kind of light-up clothing, what do you need to think about? If you're the sort of person who can get ready in 10 minutes, you will no longer be the sort of person who can get ready in 10 minutes. If you're the sort of person who takes 4 hours, maybe allocate 8 hours to get ready. Getting ready to go out is bad enough before you need a wiring diagram just to get dressed. How comfortable is it? Like, wires scratch, wire connectors scratch even more. You might consider wrapping them with cloth tape or something before you you go out. And yeah, you really, really want to be able to, if you've been wearing something while out dancing, it'll get sweaty, you want to be able to put it in the washing machine afterwards, but you can't do that if you've got LEDs or EL tape in it, because the washing machine will ruin them. So this was the solution I found after a lot of very unfortunate attempts. Sew Velcro to your clothing. So you can, instead of sewing the LEDs or gluing the LEDs directly onto what you're wearing, sew a strip of Velcro to the clothing in the shape you want it, and then put the other side of Velcro on the LEDs or EL. And that means when you're done for the evening, you can just take them off. And it also means it's adjustable, so if you go out and discover it's not quite comfortable to dance in, you can actually just take it off and like shift it a little bit, and it's no problem. Right, I'm really, really bad at sewing. Can anybody see just how messy the stitching is on this piece of Velcro? No, right? You can, because it's black thread on black Velcro on a black background. Also, it's got LEDs on it. If you're at all self-conscious about your sewing, it really doesn't matter. Nobody will care. Everybody's looking at the LEDs. And if you're going out dancing a lot in the rain or something like that, bear in mind that salt water is corrosive. This is the switch that I used to control this harness or its previous incarnations from about 2 years ago, and it suddenly stopped working, and I took it apart and discovered it had just, you know, corroded to nothing. Another thing that I found is that if you're dancing with this kind of thing on, people will get really excited and sometimes like just reach out and go, whoa, that's cool, and they'll want to touch it, and sometimes they will kind of pull it and that can pull the wires, or maybe it'll just catch on things. To get around that, I've wound up always putting a little loop of wire, you can see taped just before the actual EL paper, and that means if it catches on something or somebody pulls it, it'll pull an extra loop of wire out, rather than actually yanking it straight out of the electronics, which can be the difference between the slight inconvenience of putting the wire back in versus having to go home and resolder everything. Right, if you're in the queue to get into a club and you wind up being searched by a bouncer and that you show them this bag full of weird wires and electronics, they will understandably be really quite suspicious. So my top tip for this is turn all of your stuff on before you get to the end of the line, because then when you get there, you don't have to explain. I think you just say, oh, it's this, and the bouncer's like, oh, okay. And they instantly see what's going on, and they don't start fretting about what you might be trying to do. Right, so... if you are... If you've got some kind of nice, shiny thing, then it can be quite nice if you can get it to work in time with the music. And if you go searching on the internet, there are lots and lots of different ways of... there are lots of beat matching algorithms available. There are, you know, you can use all sorts of signal processing techniques, Fourier transforms, comb filters, blah, 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 blah. And these all work well in some contexts. I've never found one that works well in all contexts, even with a perfectly clear feed of the music. And if you take a microphone into your club, you will not have a perfectly clear feed of the music. And there's another problem. So on the left over here is the Arduino, which I use as a controller for everything. And on the right is the soldering iron I've used to construct everything. And it turns out that my controller for my lights actually has less CPU power than the soldering iron. So, like, signal processing techniques are kind of right out. And the best beat matching technique, I wouldn't say I found it, but I didn't actually find it, but the best beat matching algorithm is don't. And I was messing around with this stuff 20 years ago, and Martin, who I can see in the audience, said, look, you're nuts. Just have a button. Right? Just have a button and press it in time with the music. And sync to that, right? Because music is going to have a steady beat, right? You have, like, steady pulses with the exact same time between them. So just have a button and press it in time with the music. And you can do a little bit of maths. Just if you record the times of the pulses, you can get about 20 lines of code, which takes a single pass through that and does a fit. And you can synchronize your flashing to the music. I will do a little demo of this maybe in the QA tent that we'll head to afterwards. But thank you very much for listening.